Turn to the book of Hebrews again, chapter 3. Of course, I will not read those two chapters again. I read those last week. Hebrews chapter 3 and 4. What is rest? The word literally means to stop activity and repose. To relax. But it is to relax primarily. It is to repose. It is to relax because work is done.
Yes.
It's not to be confused with laziness.
Yeah.
It's not to be confused with being tired. It is to stop activity and repose. This principle holds true concerning God's rest. That's the title of my message, God's rest. Now, last week I looked at unbelief exposed. And remember this, unbelief excludes from God's rest. Isn't that what this says? God said, I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter therein. But, one of the greatest words ever written in Scripture.
Yes, sir.
But, according to this passage, it says this, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God.
Amen.
In spite of man's constant and incessant unbelief.
Yeah.
In spite of man's constant and incessant rebellion against the promises of God, there therefore remaineth a rest for somebody, and they're described here as the people of God. Now somebody says, what chapter and verse is that in? Look it up for yourself. I often find that we preachers are always trying to give chapter and verse. There is no doubt that chapters and verse division have been a great help in finding Scripture.
Yes, sir.
But remember, as they were written, there were no chapters and verses. And when these men quoted other writings, you had, if you wanted to find it, guess what you had to do, Mac?
Yeah,
you had to spend forth a little effort and go look it up. Today, it's almost as if everybody thinks the preacher's supposed to do all the work, and then we just come and listen, and everything's fine. Tell me where it's at. Quote the Scripture. Sometimes it won't be a quoting of Scripture.
Right.
Sometimes it will be referring to what the Scripture says. Be that as it may, that's just a little side note. There remaineth, therefore, a rest to the people of God.
Amen.
And of course, the necessary question is, and who are the people of God?
Exactly.
Right? I mean, we can look at it from a purely technical aspect and say, this epistle is written to Hebrews. And it was.
Yes, sir.
That's what it says. Mm-hmm. Hebrews. Written to Jewish people. People that are of the Jewish or Hebrew, or later called Jewish, ancestry. But it's clear from chapter 3 that the writer here is not simply talking to people who are Hebrews. He's talking to people who are Hebrews that's been called out of darkness and into the light of Jesus Christ. Paul was clear in Romans 9. They are not all Israel which are of Israel.
That's right.
Who are the people of God?
Yeah.
It's not just being a Jew.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's certainly true. But let me ask, are the people of God those that were predestinated and elected? Yes. That's certainly true. And you know, that I would not in any way, God forbid, that I would anyway try to lessen that truth. Sure, the people of God are those that God predestinated to be unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. And the people of God are those that He chose in Christ before the foundation of the world. Sure, that's true, but it's more than that specifically here. It's more than that. It says this, "For we which have believed do enter into rest."
Amen.
That's what it says. Believe.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yeah.
"For we which have believed do," not might, not shall, but do. It's an active, ongoing entering.
Yes, sir.
That seems to sound contradictory, but it's an active, ongoing entering into this rest.
Yes, sir.
But here's another question. Believe what? Believe who?
Amen.
According to chapter 4, it's believe the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
"Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it." The very people He's talking to here.
Yeah.
"For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them," that is, those unbelievers that were excluded from the rest. "For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest." You can boast all day long in predestination and election, but if you don't believe, you got no right to think you've entered into rest.
Amen.
You don't enter into rest by predestination and election. You enter into rest by believing. That's what this teaches. Those who were predestinated were. Those who were elected. Don't just wake up one day and rest.
That's right.
They don't just have some religious experience and then rest. They believe. And they believe the gospel.
That's what it says. Yes, sir.
I read several commentaries. Forgive me of that. I basically usually read commentaries to find out or to at least look for other references that I'm not aware of concerning a certain text. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep. Yes, sir.
It is amazing, especially in more modern day commentaries, how much error is preached concerning these two chapters.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about rest, they talk about heaven.
Mm-hmm.
This ain't talking about heaven. This is talking about now.
Right here. Yeah.
Yeah. Now.
That's right.
And I'm not even going to say, well, it might could even include. This is talking about now.
Yeah. That's right.
"Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider when." When we get to heaven? No. Consider when. Consider now the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Why? Because now, while it's called today, if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation.
Amen.
If you think what it's going to be is I'll wait to the end and find out if I'm going to enter that rest, you are not in that rest.
There you go. You're right.
You're not in that rest. Now listen to me. One of you asked me a few months ago, why is it that some of our brethren emphasize gospel instrumentality so much? I can't answer that for them. You'd have to ask them that question. But I will tell you why I emphasize it so much. And we'll make it a point now to emphasize it so much because it is absolutely essential. It is vital.
Yes, sir.
You will either hear and believe the gospel preached, or you will not enter into rest.
That's right.
And I'm not here to argue on some certain points where some men may or may not be wrong or right. I've done that before. I've exercised myself in that folly before toward you and probably skewed some of you in the wrong direction because I got sidetracked on one point or another trying to prove what I felt ought to be proved. This is one truth, and Joe and I have both been expressing it for months now. God will send another sinner to you to preach the gospel to you, or you will never, ever enter rest.
Right. That's right.
Because I don't care if you read the Bible yourself, and God Almighty gives you life by His Spirit, and you read this Bible yourself, and God Almighty reveals Christ to you. If you read this Bible, you are getting the truth through a man.
That's exactly right.
A man wrote this letter.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I read mine in Matthew chapter 4, verse whatever. Who wrote Matthew? Matthew did.
There you go.
Well, I believe what Moses wrote. He wrote of Christ. That's exactly right. Who wrote it? Moses wrote it. This is God's ordained way.
Yeah.
And don't look to Moses because you ain't Moses.
Exactly.
Don't look to Abraham. You ain't Abraham. You are you. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. One preacher, one commentary, and it's more of a Greek commentary on, you know, specific Greek words, but it's a commentary. And he got to chapter 4, verse 2, and said, we really can't say the gospel was preached to them. And I read it, and I thought, what? But let me tell you, oh, he made all his arguments from the Greek words. What does this say?
Yeah.
And I checked the Greek to see. It says what it says. For unto us was the gospel preached. For unto us was the good news announced, as well as unto them.
Yeah.
But the word preached
yeah.
did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Those people back yonder heard the gospel,
yeah.
just like we're hearing the gospel today. And it was preached to them.
Yes, sir.
What Moses wrote down was what he was telling the people.
Exactly right.
Was what he was preaching to the people.
Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, Moses wrote down what Abraham did, and Christ said of Abraham, Abraham saw my day, and he rejoiced in it, and he was glad.
Yeah. Amen.
There are people who actually believe Old Testament saints, yeah, they entered rest by believing, but we really can't say what they believed unless they believed in God. No. They believed in the promise of the coming Messiah.
Yes.
That's what it was all about.
Yes, sir.
That's what Adam believed. That's what Eve believed. That's what Abel believed.
Yes.
That's what every believer has believed, that God Almighty is true to His messianic promise.
Yes, sir.
Believe the gospel. Some must enter therein.
Yeah.
It says that too, doesn't it? Some must.
Yeah.
Why? Because God said so.
Amen.
Because the works, when it comes to this rest, the works were finished from the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
We'll look at that, God willing, here a little more in a moment. But some, it says, must enter therein. And believers do enter. Thus, believers are those who must enter.
Amen.
They were ordained to enter. Who? Believers.
Yes, sir.
We get hung up on, but I want to say elect. Don't say elect. Say believers. Say believers. What was the king that signed the decree for the Israelites to leave Babylon? Which one was it?
Cyrus?
No. Well, he might be. Anyway, there's one of them back there, and he said, he's my chosen servant.
Yeah.
That was an election that didn't do him any good spiritually, did it? Huh? What am I saying? I am playing with words. What I'm saying, you don't rest in election.
Yeah.
You rest in Christ.
Amen. That's it.
You don't rest in predestination. You rest in Jesus Christ. You don't believe in predestination and election. You believe Christ.
Yes.
I figure there's going to be many that have very little idea of what the profundity of election and predestination really means. But they believe Christ. They've entered into rest. And there's others who could probably tell you that doctrine far more adequately than I can. And yet they don't know Jesus Christ. They've not entered into rest. Now, someone may say. If you read the commentaries, they indicate this, as I said before. They'll talk about heaven, rest. Or maybe both. It's kind of both. Now and then. But there's one thing here true. Wherefore, holy brethren, because of what I've just written to you, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, and then he says it, who? Christ Jesus. And then he sums up chapter 4 with, seeing then we have a great high priest. So everything back in between those two statements is dealing with who? Jesus Christ as the apostle, the one sent, and the high priest, the one who goes to God for me. Isn't that what an apostle is? One sent. Specifically for the blessing of a people. And a high priest is one who goes to God for a people. And he's the apostle and high priest of our profession. Everything in this is about Jesus Christ. Because there are some who say, well, it doesn't say here Jesus Christ is our rest. No, it doesn't say it in those words, but it teaches it all throughout these two chapters.
That's right.
Just like one fellow said, he said, well, the Bible nowhere says we're saved by grace alone. And as Don Fortner says, you're right. He's right. It doesn't say we're saved by grace alone. It teaches it everywhere.
Exactly. That's right.
Now, men say, well, but if it just said it that way, you still wouldn't believe it.
That's exactly right.
I mean, I was talking to a fellow the other day about Judas. He just came up in the conversation that we were having about religion. And I told him that even Christ said he knew who believed not, and from the beginning who would betray him, and that Judas even had a devil from the beginning. And then he turned around and said, well, I believe Judas was saved, and then he was lost. So even when it says it,
exactly.
I mean, Christ prayed that none of them is lost, talking about the 12, but the one, and he called him what? That was before he betrayed him, the son of perdition. So even when the Bible does directly say it, we still, apart from grace, we don't believe it. No, it doesn't say here Christ is our rest. It doesn't say those words, but it teaches it in every aspect of these two chapters. Notice, this rest is not called the believer's rest. It's never called here our rest.
That's right.
It is called His rest. Yeah. The writer talking about God.
Yeah.
It's His rest. The writer calls it my rest, but he's quoting what God said in the Old Testament.
Exactly.
When God said in the first person, singular, my rest.
Amen.
It is called His rest. It is called my rest. That is, it is God's rest.
Amen.
Now listen, for he that is entered into his rest, that is, the believer has entered into his rest. That's what it says. That's what it's teaching here. For he that is entered into his rest, that is, God's rest, that the believer has entered into God's rest, then he goes on and says, he also hath ceased from his own works. That is, the one who has entered rest, and who's that? The believer. Right? That is, the believer then, having entered into his rest, he has ceased from his own works. The believer ceases from works for righteousness before God. Yeah. Yeah. The believer has ceased from his works for justification before God. The believer has ceased from his works for any merit before God. And then the writer says, as God did from his, making reference to the seventh day of creation.
Exactly.
Why did God rest on that seventh day? Because the work was done.
Amen.
God rested, that is, God went into repose, Job. He relaxed because his work was done.
Amen.
The believer doesn't enter into rest because his work is done. the believer enters into rest and ceases from his own works because God did the work and it's done.
Amen.
Unbelief says, I refuse to rest if I haven't done something to earn it or merit it. That's the fallacy of unbelief. It refuses to rest unless it thinks it's merited the rest. Belief rests when it knows it's done nothing to merit the rest. Yea, even more, belief rests in Christ even knowing that I have many, yea, thousands of demerits against me resting. I have no right to rest based on anything I've ever done. For he that is entered into his rest hath also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. That is, God did the work to merit the rest. Thus, that's why God says it's my rest. Do you see it? Now, we are resting, but we're resting in his rest. We are resting, but we're resting in my, not my rest, but my God's rest.
Yeah.
Somebody says, I just don't see that. I know. If you don't, I know. I know. And it's easy to get angry at people when they don't see that.
Yeah.
Especially when you've seen it for a while.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But remember how blind you were at one time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember how you didn't see it at one time.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God help us to have a little grace and compassion toward other people.
There you go.
Huh?
Yes.
Now somebody said, now somebody thinks that means, well, then you got to tone down the message. Oh no, you can't tone down the message. Just don't brag about yourself as though, boy, look how blind they are. I see.
Exactly.
Look how busy they are in their own works. I've ceased from mine. The only reason you and I have ceased from our own works is because God Almighty revealed to us the work's done.
Amen. That's it.
There's no need to do any more work. Just rest. In the rifted rock, I'm what? Resting. In other words, this song, Sweetly Resting, means it's taken from where God told Moses, I'm going to put you in the cleft of the rock.
Yeah.
In other words, there's a special place hewn out there for me to hide you in.
Yeah.
Right? And when Moses was stuck in that cleft, he could just rest. 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 No, it's called his rest. It's called my rest. That is God's rest because God owns it all, lock, stock, and barrel. God merited the rest. Look at it. When he gives an illustration, and in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest, based upon what? Verse 4, for he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise. And this is not talking about the Sabbath day. This is talking about the seventh day of creation. Now, Sabbath day was given later as a command. But in the first, I mean, before Mason there was ever, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. It says this, what? And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Jesus is not up in glory trying to work out our salvation for us.
You're right. That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's finished the work.
Exactly.
And
amen.
He is now resting too.
Amen.
Huh? Now I know. Granted, he ever lives to intercede. I understand, but that's not the point here.
No.
The point here is entering into the rest. How can I do it? Believe.
Amen.
Believe God. Believe the work's done.
Yeah.
Believe the work's done. Two things. This rest is called a rest. In the Greek, it would just be rest, but it means a singular, or not a certain thing. This is called a rest in verse 4 and 9 because it is mirrored by the seventh day. And just think about that. God rested. Why? Because the work of creation was done. God's people can rest. Why? Because the work of creation and salvation is done.
Amen.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new what?
Yeah.
Creature.
Right.
And some say more appropriately, and I believe it's true, he is a new creation. We are created in Christ Jesus.
Yes.
We are his workmanship.
Amen.
Believing allows us to rest, yea, even to enter into that rest, because we acknowledge God created me and made me what I am as a believer. I read another commentary and it talked about the condition. God promised this rest on the condition of faith. It don't say that, and it don't ever teach that in this book. Faith is not a condition you must meet. Faith is a gift God must give.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's exactly right.
Faith is not a fruit of our free, so-called free will. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
Now, I'll take God's word even over my own thoughts when it comes to that matter. Called a rest because it's mirrored by the seventh day rest. Creation was done. God rested. Why? Because God had done the work. And we rest now in Christ. Why? Because God did the work. And it is called a rest because it's distinct from and superior to the rest associated with Joshua, chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. That was indeed really no rest at all. This is the fallacy, as Earl used to tell us, this is the fallacy of this thing of thinking Canaan is a picture of heaven. And then people apply the rest to heaven. No, Canaan wasn't the place of that kind of rest. It was a place of constant battle and turmoil and fight. Wasn't it? But you know what? They never, ever really had rest under Joshua.
That's right.
Constant battles. And they would become slack and what? Leave a little group out over here. And what happened? That group would grow in power and persuasion back, and next thing you know, they'd be under attack from them people. Was it not? No. It is mirrored by the seventh day rest, that is this a rest. There is a rest for the people of God. But it is distinct and superior to that rest that was associated with Joshua. There are other rests. The seventh day rest. The rest in Canaan. There was the Sabbath day rest. There was a 7-year rest when you planted your crops for 6 years. And on the seventh year, you planted no more crops.
Right.
You let the land, what? Rest. Rest. I did that by laziness last year. I just didn't plant one. I'm hoping it'll help the soil a little, but that was laziness, Matt. Just too sorry to get out there and clean the weeds up and put the seeds in the ground. But there's all kinds of rest. But here's the second thing. This rest is called that rest, then in 4 and 11, because it must be distinguished from all other rest. You see what I'm saying? There's all kinds of rest. Legitimate rest. But they're not that rest.
Amen.
You see it?
Yeah.
They're not that rest. The believer ceases from his works because he rests in the merits of Christ's works alone.
Amen.
That's what believing does.
Yeah.
Now somebody says, but I don't always do that. Then name it for what it is. What is it?
Yeah.
Unbelief. Name it for what it is. See, the difference between a believer and an unbeliever is not that the believer has no unbelief, is that the believer believes and he acknowledges his or her unbelief for what it really is. An unbeliever thinks they have caused their very unbelief faith. And says, I don't disbelieve God at all. This rest is called that rest because it must be distinguished from all other rest. First of all, Christ's works, according to this very passage, you can read it, chapter 4, verse 3. Christ's works are of eternal, immutable, predetermined weight. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest. And when you read that, your mind gets easily gets tangled. What? What? Why did he bring that part up again? Because of this clear distinction between both this rest and other rest and faith and unbelief. He speaks first positively, for we which have believed do enter into rest.
Yes,
but then he reminds us, remember, some did not enter into rest.
Right.
God swore in his wrath they wouldn't enter, not because of unbelief. And he even warns us, we're only partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end.
Yes, sir.
We, if also in verse 6 of 3, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Why? Christ is a son over his own house, and that house is said to already have been built.
Right.
He is not building this house.
Yeah.
That house is built, and I'm only a part of that building if I hold my confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end.
Yeah. Right.
Well, I'll just rest in election. No, you won't. You will constantly be struggling, trying to prove to yourself whether you are one of the elect or not.
Right.
When God's people that have been given the gift of faith, they hear the gospel, and what do? Believe.
Yeah.
They believe. Granted, they may have to cry out, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. But they believe nonetheless. So again, Christ's work is of eternal, immutable, predetermined weight because he says, we which have believed do enter into rest. There's some, they didn't enter into rest. They're not going to enter into rest because of what? Unbelief. And then he says, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Christ is said to have been, in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 8, is as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Peter says he was foreordained even before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times, what? For you.
That's right.
According to Ecclesiastes, the preacher, what? Preacher? Yeah, that's what he calls himself back there. Ecclesiastes, the preacher, what God doeth, it shall be forever. Now that word is the same Hebrew there as eternal. In other words, it has no beginning and it has no end.
Exactly.
You see, as far as God is concerned, what Christ would do when he came into this world was already settled, immutable, and sure.
Right.
It was done.
Amen.
It was done. What God doeth, it shall be. That which hath been is now. Right? That which hath been is now. That which is past is already been. In other words, God's not coming up with anything new at all.
That's right.
The works were finished when? Even from the foundation of the world. Christ put it this way. Let me just read this one, John chapter 5. And you can turn to it if you want, but I don't have it read time you get there. But I have a greater witness than that of John.
Yeah.
For the works which the Father hath given me to, what? Finish. The same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath what? Sent. There's the apostle. Sent me.
Amen.
Again, I say the believer ceases from his own works because he rests in the merits of Christ's works alone. Rest is ceasing. Listen to me. Resting in Christ is ceasing to attempt to pay for my crimes against God.
Yes, sir.
Have you ever sinned against God and then your mind? Well, sometimes one of the first things that happens is I need to do something to make up for that.
Well,
you ever done that?
Sure.
You know what that's called?
Yeah.
Unbelief.
Yeah.
Huh? But then if you are one of the people of God, if God Almighty has given you faith, then it's not long before God begins to strike that thought into the dust.
Yeah.
And you say, you know what? I need to rest in Christ.
Right.
I cannot pay for my crimes against God.
Exactly.
Have you ever not read the Bible and then say, well, I need to read it more?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Or have you ever just thought, well, I don't read the Bible like I ought to? I mean, Penny had somebody tell her just last night, she said, you're too young to be telling me anything about it. I'm older than you, and I've been reading the Bible a whole lot longer than you've been. Did she tell you something like that? Huh? No. Rest is ceasing to attempt to pay for your own crimes against God. Just stop doing it.
Exactly.
Cease from your own... If you believe God, then just stop trying to pay for your own crimes.
Right.
But that can't be right. He paid for them.
Amen. That's right.
He was made sin for us that we might be made. There's the foundation of the might be made. He was made. Was he made sin? The book says he was. That we might be made the righteous, not even imputed the righteousness of God. Imputed righteousness comes by faith. But God's people are made the righteousness of God in Him. One of these days I may preach on the difference between those two things. And there is a difference between those two things. Scripture calls it the righteousness of faith.
Amen.
But Christ Himself is my righteousness before God.
Amen.
Here's another thing about rest. Rest is ceasing to attempt to work out your own righteousness before God. Just quit.
Yeah.
God's people are to walk in righteousness. Mm-hmm. But we cannot do it to try to use that to present before God. Because mm-hmm. the book is clear, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Where? In God's sight.
Amen.
There is nothing I can do, even being empowered, Joe, by God's Spirit, that would go before God as something God would accept me before. Because of that. But here's another one. Now think about this. This is tough too. Why is it? That's why it says labor to Henry. It's a battle. It's a struggle. Remember, it's not a... It says... For he that has entered into his rest has also ceased from his own works, as God did from his. Let us labor therefore to enter. And most people see that as a total contradiction. But it's not a labor of activity. Remember, it's a labor of attention. Listen to what God says.
Amen. That's right.
Therefore, chapter 2, verse 1, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard.
Yes, sir.
Why? Because receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is what? Able to save your souls. No, rest is to, think about it, rest is to cease to cower every time the sky turns dark.
Yeah.
That's what true resting is. And if you ever, when the sky, you know what, I'm talking metaphorically here. I'm talking about literally the sky gets dark, but even that can give you this eerie feeling, doesn't it?
Yeah.
See when them great big black thunder clouds come rolling in, it makes you feel a little uneasy, don't it, Joe? But what is it is ceasing to cower every time the sky turns dark. When you do cower, what is it? Unbelief. Acknowledge it for what it is, and then rest in Him. Why? Because all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called.
Yes.
Heavenly calling? Brother, partakers of the heavenly calling? Them that are the called according to His purpose.
Amen.
Whatever happens to you, whatever comes your way, whatever happens beside you, whatever happens behind you, whatever happens to this side of you, whatever happens in front of you, whatever falls right on top of you, God Almighty put it there.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And it's for your good.
Yep, that's right.
He doesn't say we understand how that's so. He just said we know.
Yeah, yeah.
Why? Because faith rests in Christ.
Amen.
Here's the last thing. Christ's merits for the people of God are done.
Yeah.
According to this very book, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 3, Christ already purged our sins. Therefore, quit trying to purge them yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
He purged our sins, then what did He do? What's the next word? He sat down. That's repose. Right? He purged our sins, then, Mac, He rested.
Right.
So why would I not rest?
Exactly.
If I do anything other than that, it's an insult to Christ. You see? Because He rested when He was done with it. He purged our sins. According to Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14, He's already obtained eternal redemption. Therefore, stop trying to do anything that would redeem you before God. Matter of fact, so much so did He redeem us that it also says that based upon that redemption, and that's what Joe was talking about this morning, blessing will come that God will purge your conscience from what? Dead works. To then what? Serve the living God. That's almost the exact same thing He's saying in chapter 4 and verse 10 and 11. Purge your conscience from what? Dead works. Well, what are dead works? Works that you're doing trying to earn the rest.
Exactly.
That's a dead work. Now, for these Hebrews, a lot of that had to do with all of those sacrifices and stuff. They're dead works. They're of no meaning now. You hear what I'm saying? They're of no meaning now. And they never took away sin. You hear what I said? They never took, not one drop of, not thousands of drops, not gallons of animal blood. It never, ever took away one sin.
That's right.
Redemption's done. Also, Hebrews 10, verses 9 through 14, Jesus Christ has already sanctified and perfected a people. Rest. Well, I need to be more set apart. Yeah, you probably do. So do I. But when it comes to this sanctification and perfection, just quit working. It's already done. In light of these, the question I must ask myself is this: do I believe this? Do I believe He's already purged sin? Do I really? Do I believe He's already obtained eternal perfection? Do I believe He's already sanctified and perfected a people? Do I really believe that? Do I believe this? I do. I do. I don't say that. I'm not saying that to brag. I'm not talking about bragging to you. I'm saying I do.
Sir,
I believe Christ.
Amen.
I believe the record that God gave of His Son. And you know what? That is rest.
Yes, sir. Exactly.
The only time I struggle with that is when I don't believe it.
You're right.
I should. It's the only time I struggle.
Right.
It doesn't matter what's come my way. Even when some of the calamities of the past that befell me, when I was enabled by the Spirit of God to believe the gospel, all of a sudden a repose came over me. I'm serious. But every time I'd turn my eyes to the circumstance, or look at myself, or see what I should have done better, or maybe not done at all, just constant turmoil, isn't it? But when God enables you to what? Hear and believe the, that's why we just keep preaching the gospel to one another, don't we? Because that's the only place you're going to get any. Just rest.
Amen.
Rest. Do I believe this? But even more particular, here's the question I have to ask myself. Do I believe Christ?
Amen.
Do I say, it's not Christ, I'm going to let you do it all. No, Christ, you done it all. You remember what He cried on that cross? He said, it is what? It's finished. Do I believe Him? Not just do I believe the Bible. A lot of people say, oh yeah, He's finished. Finished what? He finished all the work.
Amen.
Therefore, I can rest. I can rest. Father, help us to rest, Lord. God, we know that it takes a sovereign act of Your mercy and compassion to both bring the gospel to us, Lord, and also bring us to the gospel in faith. Oh God, we thank You for that. God, help us to walk in it and live in it and rejoice in it, that rest that's in Christ Jesus. I thank in His name. Amen. Thank you, Bill.